Well, the Mayor Byrne may have burned it, may have thrown it away in the garbage, may have given it to her maid. I don't know. I have one copy. I actually have access to two copies. Lou Masotti has a copy, and Mayor Byrne has a copy, and there are bits and pieces of it in the in the new book, Chicago's Future, and the bits and pieces in some of the newspaper reports.
Well, you had another aspect of it, since one of the things I remember during our conversation that I had with Mayor Byrne during those golden moments was the feeling of people in the community, as in the country, feeling impotent, no say. When you instituted a ward assembly in the 44th Ward, can you describe how that works?
Well, it brought
and you see this for the city, don't you?
Yeah, I see it for the world. I went to an international meeting in Florence, and I saw. You ought to see what they do in Florence neighborhoods. You know, they run their parks. They don't have a park district. The neighborhood council runs the local park. Now, the downtown stuff, the great statues and all, that's run by the big fed government and the city government. But the little parks are run by them. They control $300,000 of cash. Each neighborhood council controls three. And this is Italy. This is a country that's poor. It's got problems. They control $300,000 of cash for their own recreation and housing and whatever programs they, and they decide locally in the neighborhood how they're going to spend that money. They are rehabbing historic landmarks in the neighborhoods with this money for neighborhood centers, for community centers. No longer are these old mansions just going to be for the tourists to come and see. They are rehabbing the historic landmarks of the Florentine neighborhoods for the people in the neighborhood. Now, we don't do anything like that in Chicago. I mean, if you get a landmark here, somebody has to be a millionaire to own the damn thing. If you get some influence on the park, the best you can do is get them to sweep the grass, you know, sweep up the leaves, or to, you know, to fix up some of the little aspects of the park. No one controls the parks in Chicago. That's controlled by the patronage army and by Kelly. We don't have $300,000 going to each neighborhood to be decided by the neighborhood council on how they should spend it or what's most important. I mean, on public projects, not just being squandered or stolen, but on public projects. Now, that's in Florence. We're doing the same thing in Norway. England's about to break through. As soon as they get rid of the conservative government and reelect the Labour government, they're already pledged to neighborhood government. The shadow cabinet in England is pledged to neighborhood government once they come back into power. The worldwide dimensions of people demanding power because the old system doesn't work. It can't be run from Washington. It can't be run from London. It can't be run from the world capitals. Our problems have to be dealt with locally. And we need a system for doing that, and we need to be effective and efficient in doing that. We don't want to squander or waste money. But the possibilities of people taking care of their own lives, having their own voice, is great. And the 100 experiments in America, the experiment in Chicago with the ward assembly.
Just describe that.
Well, the ward assembly, we had people come together once a month. The Chicago's often been cited for the anti-redlining ordinance, the ones that finally made the banks tell where they were putting their money in, and finally forced some of them to put some money back in the city and housing. That was invented in the ward assembly. It was invented in ward assembly, in public meetings. That was thrashed out in the rough and tumble of discussion, and was done for the Lakeview community, but it affected not only that ordinance has been copied in 200 or 300 cities and states across this country. That it's the model on which the national legislation is.
You're the alderman, but you don't say, I'll do this, I'll do that. You listen as a monthly meeting, is that it?
Right, there's a monthly meeting of the delegates from each of the precincts, each of the community organizations, and any citizen in the ward.
Now, these delegates are elected by people in the precinct.
Once a year, they're elected by the members of the precinct and chosen by their community organization.
Mm-hmm.
These 150 or so people, whichever number it is each year, come together and debate with the aldermen what's best for the ward and local level and what's best for the city. And that kind of advice and consent, which is real, just like advice and consent of the Senate of the United States is real, is important in shaping what should be done for this city, and is a whole lot better than what happens in city council, which is just a zoo most of the time. I mean, there's real discussion about things as if they really mattered in the ward assembly, as if it really made a difference.
So when you, at the end of each ward assembly, are there certain suggestions made by the delegates?
They're resolutions.
And you, the alderman, that's your mandate.
That's right. We do what we're told. Now, of course, we have discussion. We inform our constituents about what the problems are, and we explain what the technicalities are, what the issues are. But the delegates decide, and they don't mandate us on everything. But They mandate us on some things.
Is this, so the redlining ordinance came out as a result of that. I think there was also an anti-high-rise proliferation
ordinance. The Community Zoning Board, working with Lakeview Citizens Council, downzoned the lakefront in Lakeview, the first community in this city that ever downzoned the lakefront, to prevent more high-rise buildings. And since this downzone, there has, in the 44th Ward, there's not been a single high-rise building built.
Now, is this... Was this Ward Assembly a suggestion for the other 49 wards, too, in the paper?
And we did not suggest in the paper a Ward Assembly because we didn't think Mayor Byrne would agree to that. She had given no indication she would. We did suggest the Congress of Neighborhoods, and we suggested the little city halls, the decentralized method of service delivery, and community zoning boards so that they'd at least control the physical planning on the thought that if they went, the Mayor Byrne wouldn't want to be involved with having the aldermen having to pay attention to Ward Assemblies. She probably didn't believe in ward assemblies. If I were mayor, I'd institute them instantly, but Mayor Byrne probably didn't. So we didn't recommend ward assemblies, again, because the transition team report was not what are our favorite pet ideas. Transition team report was advice given what we understood Mayor Byrne's positions to be as to what she could do to be the most effective mayor in the history of Chicago. And she didn't take her, that's not why she's not the most effective mayor in the history of Chicago, but she didn't take our advice anyway.
So where are we now? Talking to Dick Simpson, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Illinois, Circle Campus, one of the architects of authors of the that report lying somewhere around and about that has all sorts of suggestions for a more livable city. Any other thoughts come to your mind? The book, by the way, the book which is just a condensation of it and has a variety of essays, is called Chicago's Future, Swallow, of Chicago, the publishing house, edited by Dick Simpson, called An Agenda for Change. There's a preamble of the report.
Well, this year the National Association of Neighborhoods, or last year actually, adopted a statement which I think really says what it is that Mayor Byrne was trying to say and what the citizens of Chicago still deserve. And I'll just read from the preface or the preamble to the National Neighborhood Platform adopted last year by 10,000 delegates across the country. It says, "We now turn to our neighborhoods and communities to fulfill our human capacities as citizens by participating in making those decisions which directly affect our lives. Rediscovering citizenship in our neighborhoods, we reaffirm the principles of freedom, justice, and equality upon which our nation was founded. We believe that those who are affected by the decisions of government must be consulted by those who govern, that it is the right of citizens to have access to the instruments of power, and that it is their duty to learn to use them effectively and wisely. We also reaffirmed our belief in what is called the National Neighborhood Bill of Responsibilities and Rights, which says, the right of the neighborhoods to determine their own goals consistent with the broad civic ideals of justice and human equality, the right of neighborhoods to define their own governing structures, operating procedures, names, and boundaries, the right of democratically organized neighborhoods to receive a just share of private and public resources necessary for the implementation and support of neighborhood decisions, the right of democratically organized neighborhoods to review in advance and decisively influence all stages of planning and implementation of all actions of government and private institutions affecting the neighborhood, and the right of neighborhoods to information necessary to carry out these rights." And we finished in the preamble by saying, people organized in the neighborhoods, responding to their fellow residents as human beings and families rather than as clients, are best able to provide needed services. People organized in the neighborhoods are the best able to pronounce and amplify in firm tones the voice of citizens so as to command the response of government and private institutions. People organized in neighborhood assemblies are best able to create government under their control. I think that's a pretty clear statement about what the people in the neighborhoods are saying, not only in Chicago but around the country. And the challenge is, what's the city government going to do? Is it going to continue to say it believes in neighborhoods and then not create a Congress of Neighborhoods? To spend less money in the city budget on neighborhoods this year than the last of the Blandick administration spent? Are they going to continue to squander the big federal programs and not even spend the money out of the Community Development Act program that's been given to the city of Chicago to develop the communities? Are they going to continue to deny a voice to the neighborhoods? Those are the issues.
Yeah. And Dick Simpson's my guest, and thank you very much. It wouldn't be great if the mayor came across that 600-page paper and actually read it.
It might be enlightening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Studs.